on to Middle Eight Table Break. The yes, for the people.
For the people.
The in-between DM, maybe every month, maybe we still haven't decided yet quite, break podcast with all your DMs.
Yeah, we're
I
here.
Am the current DM now. I'm the DM now.
I'm done.
Alex Webster.
I have a little vacation. I'm done.
She's the DM now.
Look at me. Look at me.
Yes.
I'm the DM now.
Fantastic. Thank you.
And of course, joining me is Danny and Ruben.
Yo, we're here.
Hello, hello, hello.
So, we don't know what we're doing, so this might be a complete shit show, but that's okay. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
So, a little bit of an introduction, like I previously said. We wanted to do a little bit of just like a little casual chat with the... It's like you're just sitting down to hang out with your DMs.
And we're drinking.
And we're going to talk a little bit about where we've been in the podcast and kind of where we're going. And just kind of overall getting a good idea of, a peek behind the curtain, so to speak. Any thoughts on that?
I'm excited.
Okay.
I think it is going to be fun for even us, like, because that's one of the fun ideas that we were talking about when we like came up with this idea of rotating DMs was like we understand more or less the world we built, but like we have no idea what the others are going to do. And so like we had no idea what Ruben was going to do in that move up to level 2,
mm-hmm.
Where Alex is going to take over. And so It's like kind of fun and interesting. And we were even saying, you know, with the dragon at the end of that last episode, Alex and I were like, well, now we know we can make things a little more challenging because like we weren't ready for that, but like still a lot of fun. Like I was scared I was going to die, but like I thought it was great. And so I think it's going to be fun for us to like, you know, Ruben, why?
Why? Yeah, Ruben, why?
DM, why?
But like, you can ask me when we start asking actual questions.
Yeah, but it's like that. Like, I'm going to like that idea of like, us being able to ask that question to each other. And like, hopefully we can ask some questions that like the listeners have been having.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, we should probably have them throw some questions at us next time we do this.
Yeah.
We can open that to the floor at the end of this, I think.
Yeah.
It would be a good idea.
I think that's a great idea.
Fantastic.
Ruben? Thoughts and feels on this shenanigan?
I'm feeling great. I have the same aspect of like some of the things I want to share with you guys, just like what my thought capacity on some of these things are, how you guys felt about them, because like we debrief a little bit after every episode, but like I don't really feel like I know how it goes over until way after, so I'm really excited to see how you guys felt about what I had done and hopefully get a little insight of what my new guy is going to have to deal with your guys' shenanigans.
I usually try to compliment something you did after.
I'm overly critical of myself, so I'm always like, yeah.
Aren't we all? Okay, yeah, I'm super excited for all the same reasons. I think that this will be a fun way for all of us to officially kind of give the official breakdown of mm-hmm. what goes down during the podcast.
Absolutely.
But, let's jump right in. So where we are now in the Ascension, our Ascenders have finally reached the gates of level 2 Lust, as we'll know at this point, it's called Carnalia. After killing Randall, the previous governor of Limbo, and getting new weapons and armor for their troubles. The journey wasn't without its struggle, however, as they had to fight against intelligent stares and a drake that almost caused a TPK right away in the very beginning of the combat.
You're welcome.
And that's kind of the summary of 5, but does anyone kind of want to comment on anything that happened before that? Because 5 is freshest in my brain right now, so.
Ruben, do you have anything from your first 4 episodes?
Yeah, you know, we met the party. Elias and Siegfried, I feel like, obviously had great chemistry coming off. You know, the characters knew each other already. And then we had, I think we had pretty good role-playing at the whole party when everyone kind of finally got together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, you guys kind of met the mainstay Marauders. You guys met Sprinkles. You guys met some of the... You met Brutus?
No, Sprinkles.
Oh, Sprinkles, that's my man.
A crowd favorite.
Oh, also, Chuck apparently is a crowd favorite.
Also, everybody loves Chuck, as they should. But back to Sprinkles. So I met up with some of my friends. Shit, what day was that? Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was on Thursday. we went out to drink, and a buddy of mine reached out to me and was like, hey, are you going to be there? I'm like, yeah. He's like, cool. I'm listening to the show right now. And I was like, hell yeah, man, sweet. And so when he got there, he was like, hey, like, he was trying to ask, like, why was it weird that your character is able to do Sacred Flame? And I was like, that's a different, like, class's spell list, but, like, because of the racial feature, I do get to use that. And so I was like, that's why, like, Alex and I had that very, like, fun reaction to it because of that. And he goes, by the way, who the fuck is Sprinkles? I lost my shit. And he was like, because he paused it right when you said, when you introduced, like, when the guy was like, oh, I'll take you to meet Sprinkles, and I lose my shit.
Yeah.
And that's where he paused it. Like, it was like me losing my shit. And he goes, why are you so excited? And I was like, because we've used Sprinkles in other campaigns we've run with Ruben. And so I did not know Sprinkles is going to make an appearance. So again, yeah, that's one of those things that I was just like, fuck yeah, motherfuckers. Like, we get to deal with this small gnome who's like kind of clumsy and a bit of like a real bit of a fucking character. So that was really funny to me that he was like, I don't get it. And I was like, you'll see, dude. Just wait 5 minutes until he starts
speaking. Are we in the section or the question portion now?
Not yet.
We can come back to it. We'll circle back to Sprinkles.
Yeah.
I'll explain the whole premise of Sprinkles.
Any comments about session 5 and kind of...
I was honestly scared it wasn't hard enough. So I'm actually glad that you guys come out of it.
It's a big ol' fuck you.
No, that's like, that's one of the DM's like hardest things are to balancing combat. And the whole thing about the Ascension is supposed to feel deadly. You're supposed to be on the edge. So like, it was like, how do I balance that to a point where it doesn't seem super easy, but I'm not TPKing my party immediately. Right. So I'm glad that after, again, getting some more feedback that the Drake fight was actually... It got the effect that I wanted it to get.
It made us all very, very nervous.
Started that fight with 5 hit points.
Yeah,
it was rough.
Speaking to the balancing combat thing, though, I think that's something that a lot of DMs struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
For me, preparing for my level, I reached out to two of the longest, like, DMs that I know, my stepdad and my dad.
Lots of fathers over there, huh?
I collect father figures.
Like Beverly from Madpod. Shout out to Madpod.
Oh, God. Kalu. I love my horny dad.
Don't say that.
He says it so many times. Yeah.
Kalu Kale.
But my stepdad has been, he's like the forever DM.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad is the one who, like, started showing me D&D when I was, at this point, over 20 years ago when I started.
A youngin?
Yeah, because I would, like, watch him play and I'd, like, roll dice for him and stuff when I was, like, a kid. So I say I've been playing D&D for over 20 years.
I mean, I think it's valid.
That counts. You rolled something.
I did. I rolled dice. Numbers. Yeah, I watched what was going on. I read, I would read the monster manuals for third edition. Anyway. And I went to them because I was, like, really stressing how to balance combat. And I was just like, I don't know, because if I make it too easy, then it's not exciting. And then if I make it too hard, I kill everyone. Exactly. Like, it's such a difficult line. And then also, like, if it's too difficult or goes on too long, people, like, are just like, okay, let's
round this out. Yeah,
they check out of combat. Like, it's combat's way harder, I think, than a lot of people give it credit for.
It's a bitch.
Yeah. So... I think you did a great job.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
The fights were fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it, especially the first ones, like the first couple,
we got to see
our people, like even the friendly fight with the Mace Marauders to the Randall one, to the stairs, to the Drake. Like, we got to see the way we play our characters and the way they think in combat. And like, now we kind of know like how some of us fight, but as of course it's always going to change, because as we level up we get more things, higher spell slots, new abilities, and that plan is always going to change for combat.
And
so like,
characters are leaving, characters are new, characters are showing up, so
it's gonna be fun and interesting. I think it's just gonna be figuring out, like you said, just the balance.
You brought up something at the end of session 5. We leveled up.
Yes, we did.
You're level 6.
Level 6.
Which is something very important going into level 2, I think. Everyone kind of has some... This is the first time we've leveled up within the campaign, because we started at level 5. Because we're all, like, high-level characters.
Relatively high, yeah.
It's a midi area. It's a good place to be.
Well, starting at 5, I think, is... well, actually, I'll save that for discussion. I'm curious about the thoughts on that. But let's talk a little bit about where we're going next. So now at the gates of level 2, I am taking the reins. And what I kind of wanted to impart on everyone and kind of give a little sneak preview on...
Ooh.
I'm really excited for this level. I was talking to Danny about it because at first I was really stressing about the plot and like having to rewrite things. And I did. I made like one big plot change. Mm-hmm. And now I am so fucking stoked for this level.
Fantastic.
I really like the direction that a forced like plot change made.
Sorry.
No. Don't apologize. Like because the reason I did that because I thought it would be like it would work well, but then we had a production meeting. You see everyone listening. And Danny was like, on my level, I want to do this, and I was like, oh well, I was gonna do this in level 2, but his reasoning made a lot more sense. So I was like, you keep that. I'm going to rework what I have because I'm not, like, 110% behind what I have right now anyway.
Just to say, too, like, we had a production meeting saying, like, what we were planning to do. Mm-hmm. We don't know specifics.
Yeah.
Like, and we just have a general idea. Like, I have this type of encounter involving this person. We don't know what the details are for that.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, you guys came in. Like, the Drake, I planned, like, episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I need something that's scary, but something that is... thematic, like, I had that plan before. And also, the Drake, that's from Kobold Press, Tome of Beasts. That's where I pulled that from.
Okay.
Tweaked it a little bit, but that is where he's from.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think...
That book's fucked me up a few times.
Yeah, Danny is very versed with Tome of Beasts and some of the Kobold Press books.
Yeah, it's fun, but oof.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the level now, I'm a lot more excited about that. I think one of the things that I'm also really excited about is the level itself has, like, effects. Like, there's going to be a lot of saves rolled, and I'm very excited to just stress everyone out.
I was actually thinking about doing that for level 3,
mm-hmm.
and then I started, like, you know, reading into it, and I was like, ah, that doesn't really make sense. Like, even if, like, I make an NPC or, like, somebody you guys have to deal with that's just annoying,
mm-hmm.
like, it wouldn't make sense that they would have access to that kind of magic because of the way I'm building this world.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, nah, you know what? Like, it's gonna be more, it's not gonna be, like, super physical. Like, if there's gonna be saves, it's gonna be because there is some kind of magic user, but there's not gonna be, like, evil wizard kind of thing because that doesn't make sense.
On my random home. Baby dragons pillaging the streets.
Yeah, like
that was. Which, by the way, now that we're out of that level, I can be like, "That was my idea." So sorry.
Like, I think it's the talk with Elias and Zaris, where he's like, "He's talking owls." Dragons flying in the street.
Yeah.
Like, he's complaining about everything, and he's so irritated.
He does that in episode 1 too, when the guy is showing him like limbo for the first time. He's like, "Yeah, that happens 3 to 4 times a day." He's like, "I just got burned by a dragon, and that's a common occurrence here." Like, he's definitely like, "What the heck?" The first 10 minutes he's there,
he's very upset. I love it. That's so good.
But yeah, that's pretty much all my stuff. I did want to give everyone an opportunity to ask each other some questions that maybe you guys were asking, you wanted to ask, you know, everyone, and we can kind of discuss. To kick things off, I had a question for Ruben.
Hello there.
At any point, have us as players done anything that has thrown you for a loop, or have we done anything that you weren't sure how to handle yet?
So, Elias trying to kill Naomi.
Yeah.
Reasoning was there. I understood the reasoning. I was super scared Naomi was going to die, and I needed her for the plot. But I didn't want to be like, oh, she just falls over. I wanted to have the real stakes there still. The natural 20, by the way, not faked. Like, that was completely real, and I was like, thank God. Like,
thank the dice guys.
Yeah. Thank Dice Christ, whoever you pray to.
Dice Christ.
Thank goodness, because, like, when she popped back up, and I was like, yeah, and then, again, the
and
dice...
just wrecked his shit.
Just wrecked him. Like, it wasn't... None of that was staged. That wasn't part of the script. Just was rolling well, real well, and Naomi let him have it back. So I thought that was great.
Yeah.
on-the-fly storytelling. Anytime where you guys kind of just ask it, like, who's in here? Those kind of questions. Mm-hmm. I never have, like, specific people. Ragnar the Bugbear, literally, what I do is I'll have, like, either Volos or I'll have Mordekaiser just open. Mm-hmm. And when you have it in the table of contents or for the character creation part, it lists the different races. So I literally will be like, okay, this guy, I roll a die and just count down, and it's just like, Bugbear. I was like, all right, Bugbear, we're talking military. What sounds dope? That was literally like when he's like, who's around here? I was like, there's a Nordic Bugbear. Yeah. Like, and I was like super hyped because even Alex was like, yo, you guys were like, we are here for the Nordic Bugbear. And it was absolutely on the fly. So I feel like those kind of things, yeah, they make me have to think very hard very quickly. Mm-hmm. But like I always think it has great storytelling aspects. Or even like when you're like, who's in here, and like Gith Zarat, there's a Gith Yonki in here. Mm-hmm. You're like, who the what the hell is a Gith Yonki?
Do I think I'm better than the Gith Yonki?
Do I think I'm better than them?
Exactly. Or like the fastball special was not like aware that was going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. So like again, that was very on the fly. Mm. Let me just roll to see if you happen to hit anything in the ceiling.
Yeah, I was scared as soon as he was like, let me see if you hit something. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, I think the roll was like an 18, and I was like, anything lower than like a 12, the whole bar is coming down.
And then I was like, oh shit, this is how I kill everybody.
Yeah.
By mistake.
Accidentally.
And then you guys would be sleeping outside.
Yeah.
Hey, Zaris would have been happy.
That's what I was saying. She would have been the best one for it.
Oh my god.
Oh man. So about the Naomi thing, we were talking about that also during our production meeting. Because I'm the newest out of everyone here to DMing, and I'm like struggling with getting emotionally attached to my NPCs.
Yeah, that's a hard newest, by the way. I've only started doing it with the Apocalypse campaign that we've been running that I do. And, like, that's been going on for, like, a little over a year now. But it's kind of like this where Ruben and I switched that that responsibility for different stories just to give each other time to write. So I haven't been doing it that long either. Yeah. But continue.
Oh, no. Yeah, but I've been playing for a very long time, but I'm very new to DMing.
I guess I'm the senior DM. Oh yeah, I'm definitely that forever DM ever since 2015 when I started playing. Yeah. It's always been.
Yeah.
You want to run a game? Yes.
I do. But yeah, making characters and then like they get backstories and character sheets, and you have to think of motivations and, you know, all these things that, like, make a character, but they just happen to be bad, and they're, like, they happen to, you know, at the end, like, the end goal is for them to die. Like, it's just like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
It's rough, but I'm working on it.
Is there any... No, I don't want to give anything away.
I can be vague.
You be vague. Is there any character that you... like, that we're going to meet soon, maybe in episode one, that kind of has that attachment to it?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, in the very first episode?
Yeah. I made quite a few characters. I also think a lot of my characters that I made, they all have classes or, like, class things that, like, I really am interested in learning how to play. Which I can't say yet because we're not there, but like the Volstrecker for 2 is like, I knew nothing about, and as I was reading more about the class, I was oh, this is fucking sick.
That was actually kind of my inspiration with Naomi also, where I wanted her to have like good feats, good features, good playability.
Those good feats.
Exactly. And I wanted her to feel different than your regular veteran character or your regular bandit captain. So I made a character sheet for her, and I scaled her up a little bit higher for you guys. The GIF, Jeffrey and Croak were...
Croak!
Oh, yeah,
Croak. Our poor
Pour one
boy.
Out for Croak.
He's, pour a little bit out for Croak.
Didn't even have a family.
Wasn't gonna get fired.
He wasn't gonna get... I don't know what his... I don't know why I made that character choice. We'll get back to that, we'll get back to Naomi, but, like, when I built that encounter, I was like, I want to have something different to specify, like, there's a bunch of different type of people here. So I was like, for, you know, going through the books, I was like, okay, GIF, that's definitely a a humanoid race you don't see often.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking Bullywug, but Bullywug is a little bit more common than like a Grung. Bullywug is like the toe to the Grung's frog, I guess you could say.
Mm.
So like I was like, I want him to be a little cuter. Let's make him a Grung. And I knew Jeffrey was going to have like the Kaiba kind of voice. And the Kaiba like affecting superior to everyone. I honestly don't know where I pulled Croak's personality out of. It was just on the fly. Happened.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did that.
So what I do is I'll think of lines that I can envision a character saying, and I'll say them out loud, and that's how I develop their voice. And then I'll, in my character notes, I'll write down like what I need, like my their voice notes. So like for me, I'll write like this might, no one, I don't know if anyone gives a shit about this, but like I'll write like back of the throat or like where their voice registers, like so I know how to fucking, like I don't forget because there'll be times where I'm like, oh, this would be a perfect character voice. I don't write it down. I will never remember again.
That's good because I always fear like, especially like Naomi, since she was the more NPC that appeared the most, I always thought like, damn, I hope she sounds the same in every episode because I feel like I'm doing the same voice.
You did your own voice for her.
It was like a softer version of
voice. Yeah, but it was, which I could, it was something that I picked up on because I was just like, oh, I can tell he's going to be using her voice a lot.
Because, because... I didn't want to have a voice I was going to struggle with a lot. Like, Randall's voice was a little taxing on me.
I literally just got done editing, like, that whole fight today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny.
Are you mocking me?
No, that was funny. But, like, there are parts that I cut out because, like, we were waiting for Alex to come back, or like you had like gotten up to go to the bathroom, and we just all started talking, and it was right before the group exodus to the bathroom, but like we're all just kind of talking, and Ruben said something where he was like, my voice hurts, and like and Connor goes, how long do you think you can do this? And you're like, I don't know. And like the whole time, he kept the voice going.
He couldn't drop it because he couldn't bring it back.
Yeah, because as soon as I lose it, I don't even remember exactly how it is now.
It was very like raspy and like kind of low. But like,
was it when like Alex... Randall? No, that's more Vicer, I think. Yeah, I couldn't.
I think it was more gruff than Vicer.
Yeah,
but no, like then Alex came back and like. Then you're like, okay, like back into your normal one. But then like, you're like, this person's next. Or it might have been Randall next. And so Randall started talking right away again. Yeah. And there's a point where you're just like,
I'm coughing.
like lost it because it's so throaty.
It was a very throaty voice, And it was one I had practiced in the car. And I was like, hopefully I don't have to do this very long. Because he's, you know, the whole point of that episode was to kill Randall. So I was like, just, you know, I can kind of like when you're doing karaoke, you gotta do the hard yelling parts of a song.
Yeah.
You could just get it out and call it a day after.
Do you have any questions?
I want to know your guys' thoughts, and I can give you my thoughts after, of the other, especially Connor and James' characters, basically how the character choices they made. Because we kind of knew each other's characters, like... to be translucent, I knew Amon's character because he comes from a different story that we played that we made.
Yeah.
Although, albeit his character is a lot different here, and without giving too much away, like his character's it's different. So I kind of knew where Amon was coming at a little bit. Zaris, I knew her character was, but not so much how she was going to come off. Mm-hmm. Or like, and then again, we had talked about classes and names during like the pre-production meeting, but not. What are they going to sound like? What's their...
deal?
Yeah, how are they going to act with other characters? So what did you guys think of, like, the other characters?
I'll go first. I thought, like Ruben and I, actually all three of us, we talked about it after episode one, how much we really liked Elias and Siegfried's, like, their chemistry. And just so everybody knows, it's fucking great because session one was only the second time Connor and James had actually spoken to each other.
Yeah.
That was the first time they ever met in person.
Yeah.
The first time they like met was over a Zoom meeting where we were discussing our characters and kind of like giving the layout. And that's where we planned like, hey, maybe you two know each other. And like, that's where we got that storyline from where like they do know each other. But like the role playing was great. Like it sounded like, I mean, like honestly, like they were in character, so like when they were speaking to each other, it was very good and believable. And it sounds like, you know, they fucking get together on weekends and have beer all the time, and like they don't, man. They, they just met each other, so like I think that was incredible to me. Like, I loved that so much. Yeah. And then when when we met Zaris, and the first time we met you, who Naomi came up to you, right? And so it was before. Before Big Boy came out and gave you the mark, but like the immediate attitude toward her, I was like, oh my god, okay. And like, it was,
it's so hard playing a not nice character, it's I must so say.
Funny, because I was like, she is not having any of this.
Or when she was like, don't you care about the people here? She's like, they should try harder. I was like, holy crap. Like,
no, Zaris, she's a complicated character. And she's,
for sure, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, like, so that was like, I was like, oh, okay, so that's how she is. Those two, okay. And it's fucking great that, like, going back to the bigger or thick boys, where, like, Siegfried's very mature and he is the older character. And so, like, him being very mature and Elias kind of being, like, a hothead, like, I love that dynamic.
Yeah,
and
it's like, very, it's very mentor-mentee. Like, I definitely think a Obi-Wan and Anakin. Elias obviously has a lot of talent. He's very powerful, but he's arrogant.
Yeah.
He's super arrogant. But I love that because it, like, one thing about, like, you say what you want about stories, but, like, easy, digestible characters come off boring. So like somebody who already has like an issue or like a personality trait that's a little bit on edge, like I think builds better storytelling.
I definitely love the party vibe and like everything. I think it works out really well.
I agree. I think one of the most dramatic changes I think for me is James and Siegfried.
Like,
between the voices?
No, just like how James is as a person and then seeing him do Siegfried. Yes. Like, I'm just like, at first, like, when I first saw like Siegfried, I was just like, what's his deal? Like,
And my friend who's listened to the podcast also, he loves James's voice for Siegfried.
Yeah.
He said it's very reminiscent of Escanor from Seven Deadly Sins.
Oh, okay.
He's like, that's the vibe I get. Like, when I hear James talk, he's like, who the hell's that guy? He's like, boy, James. He's like, yo, I get Escanor vibes from him.
Yeah. Well, and then also, just out of our group, I've also known James the longest. Yeah. So knowing him, like, outside of this, and, like, just, I'm just like, oh, wow. Like, he gets into it.
Yeah, he's in his character.
He is very, like, into his character, and that's very cool to see also.
And Connor, too. Like,
yeah.
Connor, I mean, you've known Connor.
I've known Connor since high school. We just started playing D&D together a little bit ago. Because he had asked me about it. So I was like, you know what? Let me hit up my boy Ruben. Like, we'll teach you the ways, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we met up at a bar. Ruben brought the sacred text. And Connor and his girlfriend both wanted to learn. And so we helped them build characters first. And then I don't know why we got so, like, pumped to fucking do it. But we ran this quick one-shot back at Ruben's place. Mm-hmm. And, like, after that, I think, like, he got real excited about the game. He went out and bought the player's handbook. He bought dice. He did all this shit. Like, even that day, he had come with, like, printed character sheets out. He had, like, four character sheets, too. Yeah. Like, he bought a lot.
He's like, I didn't know what I needed, but, like, he just and brought
He showed up ready, then he got real into it. And, like, once he decided, like, the character he built was the character he was going to play for, like, started as one-shots, turned into, like, a campaign. He started, like, reading books. He would text me, and then I made a group chat, so he would text both of us, like, hey, I have a question about this. And like, he called me once after work, and we were on the phone for like 45 minutes, and he's like, hey, I want to understand action, reaction, bonus action. And so I broke it down to him the way I understand it, and then he was like, okay, so I can do this and this, so like, what if I want to do that? And I was like, it depends, kind of rule of cool thing, like, and how, like, intense your shenanigans is going to be. But, like, he picked it up real fast. Yeah. So when we floated the idea out to him, he was like, oh, fuck yeah, I get to play another character. And I was like, oh, God, it's happening. He's going to buy more dice.
Yeah. And then he came out of the gate, like, role-playing very well. Mm-hmm. Like, for someone, like, again, he's been playing maybe in total, at that point when we started the podcast, like, maybe, like, 2 months with us.
Yeah.
He's baby fresh D&D player, and he honestly one of the best role players I've played with before.
Yeah, like, he's killing it. I think it's like he likes, you know, video games where it's very high fantasy and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he likes playing those like dramatic characters, characters with personality. Mm-hmm. And so like the chance to actually be that character with personality, it, or with a personality, I think he was all about
it. Yeah, and it shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets, no, seeing him role play also, like, just being on this side of the table, I'm gesturing to the side of the table that I'm currently on, and just seeing that side of the table where they sit normally is so cool, because I just get to, like, watch the matching happen.
I know, and, like, even the whole conversation with Elias and Zaris to him coming to terms, I thought was, like, super organic and super, like, I thought that was, again, one of the better role-playing sections that we had.
It was
natural. I did not lead you guys to
it. It was Connor's idea. It was, he was just like, can we try this? And I was just like, fuck yeah, dude, bring it. Yeah. Like, I'm always down for a role-play moment. But I'm very interested in their dynamic as well as we get in into what level 2 holds.
Mm-hmm.
Which obviously, you know, we'll get into later, but
we'll get back to level 2 in a little bit.
In a little bit. but yeah, I think all of our characters are super cool and they all work very, very well together. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any experience with Amon beforehand, but I think he's very fun. He's a little shit, but he's very fun.
He's, so when I created Amon was my first D&D character ever. And I pulled, because we listened to the Adventure Zone, or at least I did before actually playing D&D, and I fell in love with those characters. And they did a show like this at the end of it, where they talked about like the inspiration for the characters and stuff, and it was so personal that like I designed Amon a lot after myself and like younger me, and so like
it's a little shit, Dan.
Yeah, so he's a little fucker and like up to shenanigans, but like constantly wants to learn, and like he was like that in the campaign that we played before. I hope it came off that way now, where he's like trying to learn new magics or learn about things.
Yeah.
Very curious. Obviously, it gets him into trouble. He loves his animals. But I think I think that when I introduced him in the campaign that the first time, he was kind of like standoffish,
mm-hmm.
and this time he's being more welcoming to people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, without giving a lot away, like, the reason why he is where he is now, like, I think that's, like, a part of his personality that, like, kind of changed because, like, he doesn't remember a lot of his life,
mm-hmm.
or a lot of, like, at least towards the end of his life, so he doesn't have a reason to be, like, standoffish like towards others.
Asshole, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm liking playing, like, friendlier Amon and, mm-hmm. like, still shenanigan-filled Amon, so it's still fun for him.
Yeah, and that actually really helps because there's even parts where, like, we're getting into roleplay and stuff, and I will forget something, like when Siegfried and Elias show up to Amon's place,
mm-hmm.
and there's a part where I'm, like, trying to get the plot to move, and, like, Naomi kind of cuts in, like, if we're good with, you know, greetings, but Amon's like, hold on, I gotta say hi to these people, like,
yeah.
I'm like, bro, my boy, what's your name? Like,
yeah.
Like, that helps, because, like, I was, again, I'm trying to think of pacing, I'm trying to make sure the plot's moving, but, like, that kind of roleplay, you know.
Well, one of the things too from episode 4 that I completely forgot about was when Randall presented us to the crowd,
mm-hmm.
and I think I was the third one to go,
mm-hmm.
and Elias was the last
one.
And so I remember everybody kind of like did something. Siegfried like went to hug Randall, and Randall was like, "Please no!" And, like,
he was really uncomfortable. He was trying.
Yeah. And what was great is like looking back. I don't know if you guys remember, Siegfried made no attacks on Randall because he couldn't.
Yeah.
And he was like, but he was busy with the guards the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was re-listening, I was like, fuck, I forgot that the entire time he was stuck like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then he did that. Excuse me. Then Zaris went up and like did some shenanigans. And so I was like, oh, I get to do something
Skyrite,
weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Skyrite was after.
That was the distraction.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, all right, Amon's gonna. So the way I remember saying, I was like, okay. And it was one of those things where, like, everybody knows what that okay means. It's like, I'm going to try to do something, like, extra. And Amon walked out and started, like, yeeting fire bolts and, like, being real extra. I did, like, a thunderclap at the mm-hmm. top. And Ruben rolls to, like, how much did the crowd like this? And mm-hmm. they fucking loved it. like that moment, I was like, dude, yes, like let me be like weird and like do something funny, because I mean, I think it would have been great either way. Like if I did all that shit and the crowd hated it, just fucking fell. I would have cried because like he tried so hard. Mm-hmm. But it was just.
Would you say he only got so far?
Yep.
That in the end,
it didn't even matter. Randall died.
Yeah.
But yeah, that like that moment made me laugh a lot because like I forgot I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was my question.
Yeah.
It kind of took a couple caveats, but I'm cool. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I was gonna say, did you? What are you? Did you have anything else you wanted to?
No. Like same with this. Well, I was kind of saying during the whole thing, the role playing honestly was fantastic. I'm very happy about the flavor role playing that we got between all the characters. Like I feel like again, Amon and Zaris, the very veteran people here, they do like.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to catch
you. No, go for it.
I'm
gonna say the same thing.
Well, that was part of the reason that like I had hit up Danny, and I was just like, I'm almost bummed that like they didn't know each other before.
Yeah.
Before this, because like our dynamic is so fucking good in the show that I was just like, I feel like we're just like the I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah. I feel like they're almost like, how do I explain it? They're almost like the older, I wouldn't say they're older siblings, but maybe like older cousins who already know the whole spiel. Like they go to the family party and they already know Uncle So-and-so is going to get tossed. Like, hey, that's just that's the way it is here. Like,
yeah, I was, that was like one of the things that I wrote down was like us having that conversation. Mm-hmm. And like, I think it would have definitely changed the way we are with each other. And it's not like in a bad way either. Maybe like we would have been more friendly, or like when you saw Chuck fly into my window, you're like, what the fuck is this dude doing? Like,
mm-hmm.
I think it would have been, it would have added like more space for like comedy and someone, because like we could be like dumb with each other and act like friends.
Yeah. What the fuck are you doing, bud?
Yeah, like, my dude, birds? Like, what? But
how'd you get a bird here?
Yeah, but I do like the Amon Zaris dynamic, because I think it, like you said, like we are like the older cousins to this group, and like we kind of just accepted each other too. Like we're, you know, we both came in realizing the situation we're in, the stakes, and we know how like difficult it's going to be. And so like, we kind of just immediately respect each other and have like a good way to like work together.
Yeah,
and that's why
we have a good unspoken understanding.
Yeah, and that's why I think when they met and they had that, like Amon was asking like, hey, what can you do? Like, what can you do to help us do like get there? And so immediately, like, I think that was a Zaris moment where she was like, oh, fuck, like, he's serious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't want to die here. Like, he wants out. And, I mean, they all do, but, like.
Well, and she took it seriously. I think that's when she wild shaped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wild shape into a wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, do we hit her?
My mom's like.
Growl once for no, growl two for yes.
Oh, yeah. That was the other thing I forgot to mention. Yeah. About I'm totally blanking on everyone's favorite owl.
Chuck,
thank you.
Chuck,
I've gotten text messages about like, I can't wait to hear you do Chuck's voice to me, and I'm just like, oh no,
gotta do that country twang.
I can't. That's the problem. Getting out of it is the problem.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Yeah. No.
I feel like your country twang is probably my New Jersey accent. I have a very okay. I blame Ryan Murphy because he was the first DM I'd listened to like on a podcast spectrum. Even before like Critical Role on NADPOD, and he has that problem where he's like, for some reason, all my villains and my shitheads become like New Jersey accent people. Like, you think you're fucking better than me? Like,
we were in line at the freaking sample sale earlier, and we were just like waiting in line, just shooting
got
the shit.
Bored.
We got bored and started, and there were like a bunch of pigeons, so we were giving the pigeons accents.
As
we were
you should.
Giving, and we're giving them voices, and it turned into, wait until your motherfucking hears about this.
Yeah, wait till your fucking mother hears about this.
Damn it.
God rest her soul. Why are you saying she's fucking dead?
I'm only here. I'm not fucking dead.
I'm not dead, Ronnie.
You're about to be.
Ma, shut up.
Yeah. Fucking Ma, where's the pasta?
So, it's just going into accents that easily.
Yeah,
and Southern is that for me. I can very easily just slip into that. Hi there.
Oh my God.
God damn. Do you have any questions, Danny?
So we kind of like, you guys kind of touched on a lot of, or the two questions I originally wrote. But Ruben only answered one of them. I want Alex / Zaris's exact thoughts when Elias went off and was lighting up Naomi. Like, because I remember I was laughing because Amon, like, sees it, but also he has a big boy in front of him, so he can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And Zaris is sitting there horrified. and Cleric Alex is freaking out. Yeah. So, like, I was just so... and, like, I remember the whole time I'm laughing because Connor's going off.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, like... And that was one of the times where I think Connor and Elias's mind, like, became one for a bit. Mm-hmm. And, like, tunnel sight went. And he was like, she dies now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that moment was, I think, really evocative for a lot of reasons. And I hope people loved it as much as we did. Because we all were just so fucking hyped about the situation.
Because I think even that last night, he's like, I'm going to smite. And I looked over at the table and even Ruben, like... Everybody's jaws hit the ground. Like, you're gonna do what? She was barely alive.
Yeah. One of the things that, like, he does that, like, I think is really admirable is, like, he will do what his character would do, even if it seems unsavory.
Yeah, and he even said, like, he texted me the next day, and he was like, "Dude, I'm thinking about the episode, and, like, I feel like I went a little hard." And I was like,
"Yeah, you felt like he oversold it."
Yeah, and I was like, "Absolutely not, dude. Oversell the shit out of it. Like, be that character," because I was like, "Dude, that was so good." And, like, that was so much character development. Yeah. And, like, now the party knows, like, hey, we have to, like, not really check him, but, like, we know he can go off if he needs to.
That stemmed great roleplay from Siegfried and stemmed great roleplay from Zaris. Like, they both had, in their own way, had a conversation. Like, Siegfried was more stern, like, how dare you? Like, this was supposed to be, like older dad vibes. And then, like... Zaris, like, trying to walk her, like, bro, you're dead, like...
Yeah.
Like, you did something dangerous and fell. And, like, get it through your head, learn the way you need to learn it, figure it out, because we need that crazy shit that you did, but directed at the right people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that was... It was more like the party was scared for Naomi, but at the end of the day, like, we felt comfortable having him with us, because we know... He can nuke something if he needs to.
Yeah. So to answer your question.
What are the Alex Zaris thoughts?
So my thoughts, Alex the cleric was like, oh fuck. and Zaris in that moment was like, this is going to sound real fucked up. Zaris was more concerned about losing a lead.
Right.
Than anything. Yeah. Like, was more worried. And she was actually, if things hadn't played out the way that they had, she was preparing to, I believe, if I remember correctly, she was preparing to hold person. On Elias to get him to stop. And so she was absolutely prepared to do, like, to, you know, make moves against him to get him to stop, because it was that... Like, she has a history with Naomi, and she doesn't want to see her die. Like, that it was that, but also, like, she needs information.
Yeah. Naomi had information that Zaris wanted. just real quick, back to that fight, because you said that. I remember when it first happened, and I've told you guys this already, but Alex rolled very high in initiative, and she... drops darkness in between us.
Yeah.
My whole plan was like, I was like, fuck. Like, it's gone now.
Oh, that's...
Yeah. Because I was like, I just wanted to... I mean, I was going to do the same thing I did anyway. Starlight stepped behind them and hit the person in the back. Mm-hmm. But then he did that and they, like, spread out. And I was like, well, now I'm going to attack the dude with the ranged weapon because no. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to...
And that also got you missed from the frag grenade.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, how do you like it? I got your friends. You're like, they look fine after they just took explosion.
They fucking lit up.
It also was like, I felt bad because I knew you had something planned, but also I had to, like,
You have to do something.
Like, it ended up being great in the end because, like, they ruined their shenanigans, like, the way they work. And I think we were able to hold off his, like, his fucking sniper shot for a long time.
He only got off, I think, one round of actual gun shooting, and he rolled terribly. It, like, ended up being, like, 9 damage.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember how much. I think he missed one attack, because Amon insulted him, and he looked back like, what did you say?
Yeah. Like, well, because then when they delivered those final shots on the other two with Magic Missile, it became, like, a bragging thing with him and I. Like, I was... like poking at him. He was poking at me. Like, we were just talking
shit. I loved that fight for that reason. Like, I thought you guys going back and forth was great.
Yeah, it was the kind of comic relief in the craziness that was happening. And like, besides the grenade, he didn't get a lot off. Like, his rifle shots were supposed to be a lot deadlier. Like, he was supposed to be scarier, but you guys successfully kind of, I wouldn't say took him out, but occupied him a lot more.
Yeah.
So it was more a fight against Naomi and avoiding Croak's effect.
God, Croak was
That was a great rough. Effect, yeah. by the way.
Yeah.
Is that like a thing, so that's a great question, like that I didn't even write down. Was that a thing that like is a thing for the Grungs? Mm-hmm. Or like, oh shit, that's really
that's
cool.
a Grung feature.
Yeah. Damn. Because, I mean, I remember you said like low save, but man, if you fail, like,
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah. You're stunned for a whole round. There's no save. You get out of the stun after his turn.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I was saying, like, I think especially Siegfried, we had a really long turn because Elias went off, Naomi went off, and then Siegfried got stunned, and it felt like a very long turn
because
it wasn't Croak's turn again. I was excited, bro. Like, it feels like a long turn, but, like, he hasn't came back to him yet.
Yeah, that was stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, so their real tactic was supposed to be kind of a,
they're like a pack tactics thing.
Kind of, yeah. So, like, the whole idea was that Croak would get as many people as he can. Naomi would, as much as she could, move people. Because she had Battlemaster techniques on top of being an Echo Knight. And her whole thing was trying to get people as close to each other as possible using her positions with the Echo Knight. And then basically Jeffrey fragging and then picking people off as they went. So, like, as soon as the darkness went, they had to immediately just get out the darkness. So they got spread out more than they wanted to.
We love that for us.
Me with darkness and sunlight, man, coming in clutch.
Yeah, sunlight too.
Sunlight was great.
I'm glad you picked up on the sunlight because I was.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that as well.
So the actual Drake, Shadow Drake itself, kind of got nerfed after the sunlight because it has a lot of darkness based abilities. Example, like, it could basically just teleport anywhere in darkness. It doesn't have to be bright light. And I was gonna change it a little bit so that it was any significant source of light. So, like, dancing lights wouldn't have worked, but if you cast something else, like, I don't know, something like maybe not fairy fire, but another spell that had a significant source of light, I believe that works too. But that hard counter for that was daylight. I didn't know if you had it or not, and I'm pretty sure you're the only one who could have stocked it.
Yeah. I think druids are is daylight.
It might be a cleric spell.
Cleric, maybe.
Yeah.
Depending on those are the only two that would make sense.
Yeah.
And a harder maybe on a paladin.
That's a big maybe. Yeah.
So it actually that fight would have been a lot harder without that. So I'm glad that the one liner I gave as a clue stuck out. So.
I really like that you kind of like taunted Zaris with that too, by saying like, "Aren't you a creature of darkness as well?" And Zaris is just like, "I guess today I'm not."
Yeah, exactly. I wanted the like definitely dragon vibes where he's arrogant and scary, but like,
oh shit,
what's that?
A little for the D&D nerds who are yelling at their fucking phones right now. Daylight is a cleric, druid, paladin, ranger, and sorcerer spell.
Oh, paladin probably doesn't get until way later.
It's a level. It's a third level, so yeah, they don't get it till
probably 10th level. 10th,
yeah, at minimum, yeah.
I think in our other campaign, I think Nightmare is a 9th level paladin, or 10th level now, and I think he just got 3rd level spells.
Yeah,
paladins and rangers, those half casters, man. But yeah, so they wouldn't get it until much later.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you're light domain or circle of the land, grassland.
Well, good thing, because I was scared, and that was again playing into the aspect of like, is this balanced well enough? Because like, if you have daylight, it changes it significantly, but if you don't have daylight, it makes it that much harder.
Which I was like a little worried because you kept asking questions about like this where I was putting daylight, and I was like, oh my gosh, is this either going to be really really helpful or totally insignificant?
Yeah. The positioning was very important because if you put it too far from him, he would just teleport away from it. But the sunlight,
I focused it on him.
Yeah, if it was close enough to him, he couldn't do anything about
it. Which I also imagine just being absolutely terrifying when you just hear this like absolutely like terrifying voice, right? And then out of nowhere, just like
somebody hit the lights,
and he's just like, and it's just this fucking Drake, like.
Just hear it coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Did the voice mod come off well?
I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
It was perfect.
It was
great.
Fantastic.
That kind of like led into another question I had for our DMs, and I'll answer last since I'm asking. You guys know how I like to DM. I like to use a lot of homebrew shenanigans. I like to, like, my bad guys, even my NPCs, I'll give them, like, some extra flavor, or like they get to do a little extra than what like they would normally do, and like a player would normally do, but I want them to be like to stand out a little bit, to do something, you know, that makes them unique. Do you guys plan on doing something like that with NPCs, big bads, maybe like an item that an NPC has, or like, you know, like a soulbound item, something like that, or like not something immediately available to the characters, but like something a little extra. Like, you remember when I had you guys fight Goku that one time?
In the home campaign?
And and he did deflect missiles or catch missiles or something like that because he had some monk levels.
Yeah.
And Andrew was like, it's this much damage. And I was like, yeah, he blocks it. And he was like, what? And I was like, because the original like stat block I was using, it was pretty low. But I was like, no, they're fighting like juiced up Goku. Like, absolutely not. He's not going to get like take some shots easy like that. And so
it's definitely before Tournament of Power Goku.
Yeah. And I think because I had him Kaioken Super Saiyan 2 on you guys, like he was getting up and I was like,
Did he blue Kaioken? I don't remember.
He was about to, and then
I think he hit God. Did he go God?
No. He was trying to.
He got close. Yeah,
because Nightmare. Okay, context for the table. We have a couple home games. One of the home games is Danny's shenanigan-filled home game where we fight characters like Vegeta and Goku. Like, it's real fun. I play Nightmare, which is, like, just a juiced-up version of Nightmare from Soul Calibur. He's literally the character from the video game.
Terrifying.
Yeah. And he is, for anyone who wants to run that character, he's 4 levels barbarian, and then I think right now we're at
15. You guys just got to 15.
Yeah. Well, I haven't leveled him up yet. So he was 4 level barbarian, 9 levels paladin at the time, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. Mainly paladin levels with a little bit of barbarian sprinkled in.
And he's my favorite.
And he's a war criminal.
Alex has refused to let him die, and they actually got real close, and he was like, let me die. And
to be fair, my character didn't hear that.
Yeah. Well, anyways, like the Goku fight, I remember I was like, oh, we're fighting Goku?
Well, you pulled an Elias. Like, you were trying to kill him.
It was supposed to be a friendly fight. He's like, let's just see how strong you are. And like, he even gave us sensu beans and everything. Yeah. And I was like, nah, bro, I'm trying to kill you. Like, this is like a dream fight for me. Nightmare trying to kill Goku? Like, bro, bring it.
Yeah, it was fucking great. And like, so that's like, so do you guys have things planned like that? Or I'm not saying like we're gonna use like Goku, but like we could base a character off of Goku, or like base a character off a different anime, TV show, video game. Like, do you guys have something planned like that, or maybe you will later on?
So I can say this now because it was one of the things that I ended up nixing. I made 3 NPCs, and I really liked each of their individual vibes, but I looked at it from a retrospect. Like, I took a step away and I was like, did I accidentally make the Powerpuff Girls? And I was just like, oh, fuck, I did. I totally accidentally made the Powerpuff Girls. God damn it.
Fantastic. I love it.
Oh, my God. That would have been so funny.
Save that in your back pocket. I want to see the Powerpuff Girls somewhere else. Like,
but it wasn't like they were the Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, but they had that vibe.
They were NPCs where I was just like, oh, that's the vibe. Shit.
Or like Tengen's wife from a Soul or Demon Slayer. Mm-hmm. They're very Powerpuff Girl-esque too.
Yeah.
There's that thing where it's like the calm leader one, the kind of angry rough one, and then the crybaby one. Yeah,
precisely. And so at the end, I was just like, okay. Thankfully, this was something that I ended up changing for plot purposes. But
that's phenomenal.
I mean, and those are all three. I mean, technically, all three NPCs still exist in my back pocket. Whether so, yeah, we might meet some of them. We might not. You'll just have to listen and find out.
So as far as the characters I've made currently, the only one that had any type of reference point was Jeffrey, and that was significantly just his character, like, as far as how he acted. For those who didn't know or didn't pick up, I think we said it on that episode, he's basically like Seto Kaiba from Yu-Gi-Oh! Just arrogant, thinks he's better than everyone. But as far as any mechanical things, everything there was originally made. Like, I had made Naomi to be a bit of a... I put power gaming shoes on when I made Naomi. Yeah. Because she was an Echo Knight, she had mobility, she had a couple of superior techniques. Like, Naomi was supposed to be the big bad of the three.
Poor Connor.
We were talking, Alex and I were talking about it, where after I was like, I think, like, it was kind of funny that you did that, because Connor was trying so hard to
kind of pull the air out of the shoot.
Yeah, but he was like, okay. Okay, and then I think that was, like, a good thing for him and the character to realize, like, that ability is not always going to work. And
it's
like,
not the all-powerful, like, I know everyone, I know, like, I even made a reel about it, about DMs and Sentinel, like, it's a pain in the ass, but, like, there are ways around it.
I wanted it kind of be that hard counter where it was like, yeah, you're this strong guy, but, like, there's people who work around you. You're not, you're not the best thing since sliced bread. You might be sliced bread, but Naomi is a baguette.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui.
God damn it.
Croissant.
We're getting French again.
Parlez français?
Et parlez-vous français?
No, I do not.
I don't know what it means.
I don't know.
So, for myself, I do have some, like, shenanigan things planned. I love some homebrew stuff. Alex sent me some stuff off of Pinterest. Honestly, Pinterest game for D&D, like, just random, like, enemies or stuff like that, fucking great. Like, I definitely recommend go to Pinterest, just put in D&D creatures.
I do have a Pinterest board for turning tables on my own Pinterest.
Yeah. I know it's a little bit of a thing right now because of the whole licensing thing being a problem and all that.
Yeah. But
prior to that whole debacle, there are people who just make things for D&D. So if you're looking for something to...
Griffin Saddleback, yeah. The person who made the daggers that Zarius has. Mm-hmm. Like, those, like, I got them on Pinterest.
Mm-hmm. I pulled from Kobold Press. There's a couple Kickstarters I had bought stuff from. Stibble's Codex of Companions is a great thing to add a little flavor into your story. Like, there's people out there, like, support them, give them what you can, but, like, if you're looking to add a little bit of flavor, or say you're like me and you've ran Curse of Strahd 8 times already, and you're fucking tired of the same storyline, add
mix
something
it up,
different.
Make it weird. And so I think, like, that's what I'm, like, kind of looking forward to whenever I take over, is I get to add these, like, weird shenanigans to it, and, like, it's not even that it hasn't been weird already, like, it's weird for all of us at this point because all these characters are in this situation and, like, we made time very weird in this world. Mm-hmm. And so, like...
I know there's people are going to be yelling, like, they just took a long rest. They took another long rest right before the Ascension. Yes, I know. Plot.
Yeah.
We needed it.
So, yeah, so I like this idea of, like, us being very open to, like, homebrew shenanigans. And it's just one of those things, again, like we were talking about earlier, is if I find a really cool, like, creature encounter thing I want to do, I'm gonna look at us as a party and, like, make the adjustable changes, make it harder, make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe remove something completely.
Well, I mean, even if you have something specific in mind, find, like, just even Googling, like, I need blank stat block 5e, like, you're going to find a resource, whether it's Reddit, whether it's Pinterest, whether it's, like, DMs Guild, which is an official partner for Wizards of the Coast, so, like, they kind of get around the licensing stuff. But DMs Guild, shout out to them, because, like, they have some fucking amazing shit.
Hell yeah.
The one shot that I ran for you guys for the very first time I DM'd, DMs Guild.
Excellent.
Great story. Ooh, that is a great segment into my next question. It's for Alex.
Oh, yeah.
You had mentioned it at one point. Actually, you did it in the very intro episode of, like, us introducing mm-hmm. ourselves and how we, like, play and run things. How much horror can we expect for level 2? Is there gonna be a spooky or no spooky at all?
I think there might be a spooky moment or two, but it's not the horror-based campaign yet. I'm saving that for later, where I can kind of pull out all the stops.
Yeah.
Because you guys know what levels I'm DMing later.
Yeah, so we know exactly who's gonna do what level now. But I know where she's gonna put more of it into it. I just have to ask.
Yeah.
For me.
So.
And for level 2. Maybe for Ruben.
No. So for level 2, I think this actually was a little bit of a challenge, but a very fun with me because I get to play a lot more with charisma based mm-hmm. type stuff, and I don't. That's kind of new for me. Usually it's all like wisdom save. Like, are you gonna go like for example, the one shot that I ran for these two forever, and I'm not forever ago, but like when I, you know, my first.
It's been a while.
There's a lot of madness rolls, like a lot of madness table rolls, which was super fun for me to watch. Oh
my god, it got so real.
It's one of those. So scared. Yeah, it was one of those where we like looked at something for way too long. Like it was the
turned
tent, right?
My one shot into a two shot.
Yeah, we were just looking at things that had no relevance to anything. But like, but what if we did this? And she just let us sit there and think about it.
We could have ended her whole campaign by lighting a cart on fire.
Hey,
we would have killed the entire town.
Yeah, we would have failed what we were trying to do. Firecrackers could have walked away.
You guys could have walked away, and I would have come up with something on the fly. Also, it would have been really fucking funny to tell you after. So I'm like, listen, the whole thing that I had planned was in that cart.
And you ruined
it. Yeah. Also, Ren is dead.
Yeah, also.
Also, you guys killed Ren.
What?
Yeah.
Ren is another character.
Suddenly she disappears from the other campaign.
Yeah, she fades out like Marty McFly. Yeah.
This one I'm going to throw out just because it has to do with level 2. We can cut it out or not, depending on how we feel about it. But, so you guys know, before Alex took over, she sent the party, like, consent forms and questionnaires.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to answer these questions in character, which I thought was really fun. I'm not going to share the questions because, I mean, well, we can share them at the next turn. Where, like, it's...
Yeah, we can talk about it. Once second level is done.
I thought that was really fun. I'm so curious about what people wrote.
I know the answers.
I'm especially curious about our two big boys. I'm just like, oh, shit.
And it was definitely, like, interesting to think about because my character hasn't met you guys yet.
Yeah.
So it's like how... And I'm just basing it off, like... overall, just what I know of the characters, just DMing, not trying to be too meta about it, but it's like it's hard when mm-hmm. like, especially when your character, you know your character's coming up, but he's not there yet, and you have to answer these questions like, what would you do in this case? Like, well, I don't know, comrade, I don't know these people yet.
I don't know them.
I feel like there's one question that I'm pretty sure I know the answer, and I'm, like, really excited to see how you...
It's like, why did you ask this question?
It's a specific question, and I feel like I know what everybody answered to that question. And
everyone just went, yes.
Yeah, and so, like, now I'm curious to see how it works out on this level.
I'm so curious what question you're thinking of.
Am I allowed to say it?
I mean, you can ask me when we're not recording, but...
Okay, I'll ask you when we're not recording.
We'll do it later.
Yeah. But, the questions... One of the things that I've always been into, even before, like, even when I was taking a break from D&D, and I did a lot of writing, is I was really big into character development. That mm-hmm. was always the thing, was just, like, how developed can I make my OCs, right? And so asking some of those questions, some of them were just literally, I wanted you guys to be thinking about your characters and like mm-hmm. their motivations and what they would do in certain situations. Mm-hmm. Some of them might come back up later. Some might not.
Help.
Fantastic. That's, yeah. So we'll see. I have even some ideas for before we start my own sessions, because obviously it's going to be a different experience for all of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my thought is a little spoiler for my sessions, before we record, I want to kind of ask everyone like a character development question to think about before we go into things.
I like it. I like it a lot.
kind of a flavor icebreaker.
Kind of like an icebreaker, but you
saying that, like, I might do the same thing where I send out a questionnaire to people. Because, like, I was like, fuck, what can I do with level 3?
Take my ideas.
Like, I like that idea of, like, maybe before, unless, like, you have, like, something written and it's solid already. Like, I like the idea of, hey, how do you feel about this? Or not you, like, the player. Mm-hmm. Or what does your character feel about, like, this? How do they feel about, you know, these situations, these types of people? Like, I really like that idea, because 3 is going to be, I mean, and I like the world we've built, where every level is going to have a completely different vibe.
Yeah.
And I want to know how they're going to react to it, because let's just say, like, I put something in my world that really pisses Zaris off. Maybe I pick at that a little bit and, like, see what happens. Or it's something that pisses Elias off, but, like, I could trick him into doing something else and, like, play with characters and see how they react to stuff. So I like these ideas of, like, pre-level questions.
And it's funny, because, like, I don't know if it's a difference in DM styles, or maybe because I've been doing it for a long time. Like, I feel like that very scoped-in approach, like, I tell you guys all the time, like, half that's by the seat of my pants. Like, I am not... I know the very skeleton of what I'm doing.
I can't do that.
But, like, I find it better, because you could plan for every situation, and you're gonna have people like freaking Danny over here asking things that I wouldn't even think about, like, and then half the time the things you plan for don't happen, or you have to... I don't know, maybe it's just what I'm comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I like being very what's the word I'm looking for?
Just improv-y.
Improv. I feel like I kind of excel in that aspect. So I always have like my over, I knew what was going to happen story wise. I knew what I want the characters to do, but as far as like each small interaction, it was easy for me, cause it was pretty much all you guys at that point. I just kind of gave the baby pat on the butt, go ahead, walk that way. And, you guys take care of the rest.
Well, it was great for me. And I think that's like the key for this whole thing, right, is that we play at an awesome fucking table like people who are super willing to like try new things or like role play at a drop of a hat, like that's the kind of shit that like I like to see. So and that's
delicious flavor,
and that's what makes me want to do the character development stuff, so that I can like, I want you guys to like be thinking about like your characters and why they think the way they think. I mean, even Danny texted me questions about like certain things about like my character, and I was just like, oh shit, and like it was super fun to think about, and like I could do that all day.
And so like I think like I'm really excited about that, and like the whole improv thing. Just to go back to the campaign I'm running, the second to last time we played, there was like an occupation in the kingdom they were in, and I literally wrote down like if they go this way, these are all the possible encounters.
And what did we do?
They didn't do any of it. Exactly. And I was like, you guys do what? And I'm like, okay. And thankfully, you guys had like taken time to like speak amongst each other and like figure out what you wanted to do and how you wanted to bamboozle your way into like into where you were going to go anyway. Whatever way you guys went, my way or their way, like they were going to get there. And so as they're doing that, I start typing like, okay, here's what's going to happen like real quick. And I had to put it in my computer because I was like, fuck. But it's one of those things too, so that campaign we're running is very high leveled, and I constantly forget like the level, the
you did this, to,
like, spells that you guys have. But also you guys leveled up last time, and I didn't bother to look at anybody's like if they got anything. And one of our characters had just gotten seeming, and even when he dropped it, like all three of us, you're like, you gotta do what? Everybody pulls their phone out, starts looking it up, like, what is this spell? And he was like, any number of creatures I want for 8 hours.
Just look different.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Just disguise person for as many people as you want.
For as many people as he wanted. And I was like,
even okay. A large war pig.
Yeah, even a large war pig. And I was like, okay.
Sure.
Fuck. There goes half my idea. Like, I had planned that, like, you guys would get stopped by some guards that took their jobs a little too seriously and, like, make it kind of a fun, weird encounter with them.
And then he carried his way through.
Yeah, and then he just carried his way. So, like, I'm looking forward to those things where, like, I know Ruben's gonna do it because, just because of the character, the character choice you have coming up, like, I love it so much. I'm very excited. And it's going to be, it's not going to be like, it's going to be shenanigans. It's not just going to, it's not going to be Amon shenanigans. It's going to be different, and I'm excited for it. But yeah, I just, I'm ready. So yeah. Ready.
Any final thoughts before we end it here for now, before we go into level two?
Before we finish here, I do have a question for the listeners. Are you guys like enjoying the shenanigans? And I mean like the Amon shenanigans, Elias shenanigans, the shenanigans amongst like the players, like all of us kind of like joking around for a bit, laughing about something. Like, do you guys really like that? Like, you want less? Do you want more? Let us know. Let me know how much I need to leave in when I edit.
I was going to say, they're the ones who edit. I am so busy, and these two are being absolute fucking rock stars, so.
But yeah, I do want to know, because like some of those things, I was like, hey, that was really funny. Had absolutely nothing to do with the story, so right. Like, I'll cut it out. Or like, there's points where I was telling both of them, editing combat's funny, because they're like, you know, Amon, it's your turn.
But when you put it out, it's like, all right, I want to do this. Yeah. Like, it sounds so like we know what we're doing.
I cut out all that because nobody wants to listen to me think. Mm-hmm. It's silent and me making weird noises. Like,
yeah, going.
Yeah. Like,
sorry.
Just like so many just preparing and trying to figure out. And then, you know, reacting to what the other players did.
Yeah.
So, like I said, when in that first encounter, when Zarius dropped Darkness, I was like, well, fuck, there goes my whole plan. And I think I was like third in the initiative order. So I'm like, now I don't know. I had a plan. Now I don't know what I want to do. Hold an action until the thing I wanted to happen. But like, you know, I'm going to cut out all the dead parts. But like, do you guys like hearing us bullshit, you know, making references to pop culture?
Yeah.
The singing?
Yeah, Kobold Rickshaw.
Kobold Rickshaw. Again, another thing that I pulled out of my pocket.
Absolute me shenanigans. Going like, can you take me higher? Yeah.
Like, do you guys like that? Because I think it's great.
We think it's great, but if it's not, let us know.
If you guys
know.
Don't like it, please tell us.
We'll stop.
Message us on the Instagram.
Or we won't stop. We'll just cut it out so you don't have to hear it.
Yeah.
Because I won't stop bursting into song.
That's
I just
true.
Like,
yeah.
And just because I'm curious, please tell us your favorite character.
Ooh.
Yeah. Your favorite character now, and we'll ask again. We'll ask at every turn just because I want to know, like, or your favorite moment. Like, did you really like Elias almost killing our girl? Or did you really like Chuck just, like, dropping that southern shenanigans on people? Like,
I'm a bird.
How much did you guys like that bugbear? Like, that Ruben just pulled out of his hat.
For victory.
Yeah. The for victory moment. Like, that was so good. Like, please tell us your favorite moments, your characters. Like, give us some fan theories, too. What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
I give a little sneak peek for a new character. It is like Richard Hernandez Diaz, comrades.
Oh, God.
Ready for that shit? Stay tuned and listen to episode 6 and onwards of Turning Tables Podcast. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Make sure you stay up to date on all the latest of our podcast shenanigans on Instagram. We're at Turning Tables Pod, and you can find us wherever you find your podcast normally. And thank you so much for listening to this very unique episode, and we will be back next week with episode 6.
Episode 6.
Woo!
Goodbye.
Bye.